Time flies by, doesn't it? I was yesterday, I was looking at some pictures of somebody from our church who's in Disney World right now. If you're their friend, you saw some pictures on Facebook, and I thought, wow, how cool to go, and they're taking their little child to Disney World, and there's a little video clip of their child dancing during the parade, and you know, little baby, and I thought, how neat to see that. And it reminded me of when we took our daughter and how excited she was. And you know what? Time goes by quick, doesn't it? Before you know it, they're growing up. You know, you saw my little princess in her dress today. She looks so nice. The other day we saw that dress and, you know, and we saw it in the store and thought, well, you know, we'd like her to have it. And then you think, how many more times am I going to be able to buy a dress for my little girl? And how many guys wish they could buy a dress for their little girl to wear to church? So me, I'm a sap. I begin to cry in the store. So we bought that dress for my daughter and wanted to help her feel like a princess. It's funny because after that, we walked through the toy section. And Donna's looking at all these baby toys, and she might not know it, but I had to kind of just walk away. I just couldn't even deal with it anymore, because I was the baby toy buying king. I mean, I could go and just find the thing that was just awesome, that Amber would love. And, you know, Daddy's good at buying toys. It's kind of my wheelhouse right there. So looking at the baby toys just helped me to think how fast time goes by, doesn't it? You hold up the little onesies with the little footsies and, oh, look, remember when she used to be in that? And it just doesn't quite work anymore. It's kind of weird when you try and get her to put it on, you know? Her foot's bigger than the whole outfit. But time goes by so quick. And that had me thinking, you know what? Our time here on earth is truly limited. Isn't it? We only have so much time. Time is a precious commodity that once it's gone, it's gone. Once you spend it, it's over. And it also had me thinking how I really want to be a good steward with my time. How we're only given so much time. And in the time that we're allotted, I want to spend it wisely. In the time that I have here on earth, I want to grow in the Lord. I want to be used in the fullest possible way for the kingdom of God. I want to grow in my understanding of the Word. I want to grow in my use of the gifts and talents God has given me. I want to grow in the area of spiritual gifts. I want to grow in my number of godly friends who are encouragers to me and help propel me to be a better person for Jesus. I want to grow there. I want to grow in my relationship with you. I want to get to know more about you and use my time to spend time with my family, my church family, as well as my biological family, so we can grow closer together. I want to be stronger. A year from now, I want to be a stronger Christian. I want to be a man who is more unmovable than ever in my life. I want to have more courage a year from now. I want to do things with excellence even more. I want to have more of a sense of the presence of God in my life. I want to hear His voice more clearly. Because time goes by quick. Today's Team Sunday. This is like the third or fourth one we've done. 07, 8, 9, fourth one we've done. Time goes by quick. Before you know it, it's going to be September 2011. It's going to be Team Sunday again. Before you know it. And then this next year,
I want to grow and be faithful for the Lord. I really do. I want to have a heart that serves Jesus. I also want to experience the healing touch of the Lord in this next year. I want to experience God's healing touch upon my physical body. I'm a pretty healthy guy, but I want to get in shape and I want to make sure that I stay healthy. And I want my aches and pains to go away, and I think maybe some exercise may help in that department. We'll see how that goes. But I want to be healed spiritually as well. I want to be whole. I want areas in my life where the stain of sin still stings a little bit. I want to work things through with Jesus. Places in my life where, you know, it hurts a little bit. Regrets that you have. Well, this next year, I want to spend time with Jesus, and I want Him to work a healing in me. And lastly, during this next year, I want to begin working on leaving a legacy. That when I die, I want the world to be a better place because I was in it. I want more people to know Jesus because I was here than if I was never born. I want to do something this year that leaves a legacy for those I leave behind, including my daughter, should Jesus wait on His return. I have a feeling many of you have those same kind of concerns. I have a feeling many of you would love to spend this next year wisely. That perhaps, like holding the sand in your hand at the beach, you feel like your days are slipping through your fingers. And at some point, you want to be able to look back and say, what have I done with this time that God has given me? And I have a feeling that many today would love to say, in a year from now, I want to be stronger in the Lord. In a year from now, I want to know more of the Word. In a year from now, I want to be a person of courage. I want to be a person more of integrity. I want to be used by God in the gifts of the Spirit. I want to know His Word. I want to love Him more. I want to further develop my own talents. I want to leave a legacy. And a year from now, I think there's some here today that would say, I want to have more accomplished. Should the Lord wait on His return and should He take me home, I want to have something of value that I can say I spent my life on for the Lord. Anybody today would say, yeah, that's where I am? Well, today on this Sunday, we're going to look into the Word of God, and I want to share with you God's plan for all of that to come to pass. Isn't it good to know that God doesn't just give us those desires and He lets us figure it out on our own? Right? Because I want you to know the desires that you have for all of those things I just talked about, for excellence, for growth, for changing the world, for the gospel, for loving your children, all of those desires come from the Lord. The desires to leave an impact for future generations, that comes from God. That doesn't just happen on your own. And it's good to know that the Word of God will speak into that. And I pray today that as we get into the Word, we will find the answer to that. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. That's page 832 if you have one of our Bibles. If you don't, you're on your own. Acts is New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Acts, it's before Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, so right after the Gospels. And as we look into Acts chapter 2, what we're going to see here is the birth of the church. For historical context, I'll set this passage up for you. Jesus lived his earthly life for 33 years. He walked, he preached, he was called into the ministry at age 30. He was baptized in the Spirit and physically as well, same time in the water by John the Baptist. He was led into the wilderness with the devil. We know that he was tempted 40 days. Then he began healing people and preaching that the kingdom of God has arrived because the king was there. Remember we said last week or so that phrase of the kingdom is near because the king is here. Jesus showed up. He taught us how to live. He showed us how to live. And ultimately, the greatest thing ever, he died on the cross for our sins. The Pharisees thought it was all said and done, and they thought, good, we killed this guy that's messing up our religion. Then Jesus messed them up on that Sunday morning, didn't he? He rose from the dead. He messed them up. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for us. He died for our sins. He rose again for our salvation. And then he lived with his disciples another 40 days after he rose from the dead to continue to teach them, because they were going to be what we call the church. The disciples were going to be the church. Jesus spent 40 days training them, leading them. In Acts chapter 1, we see the day when Jesus gets ready to blast back off and go back to heaven. And he's teaching them, and then when it's time for him to go, he says, I'm going to go to the Father, and it's better for you that I go, because when I go, I will send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will be within you. So the picture is Jesus was with you, like when you were next to him, and when you walked away, you weren't with Jesus anymore. Well, when he went to the Father, the Holy Spirit came and resided in God's people, and Jesus is with you now with the Holy Spirit wherever you go. Isn't that neat? So I go to work, and you go to work, and somebody else goes somewhere else, and that couple from our church, God bless them, they're in Disney World, and Jesus is in Disney World, riding It's a Small World with them today. The Lord is good. That's because of the miracle that happened in Pentecost. So Jesus ascends to the Father. The Holy Spirit is poured out on the church 10 days later. There's signs and wonders. People are filled with the Spirit. They begin praising God in other tongues. People come over and they hear all this happening and they think everybody's drunk, and Peter begins to preach the best message, at least the first message, one of the best messages of all time. He preaches how those people killed Jesus. You're responsible for the death of Jesus. But Jesus rose again, and if you receive him, you'll find forgiveness. The people say, what must we do to be saved? And Peter says, repent of your sin and be baptized. And they repented of their sin and they were baptized. And Acts 2, verse 41, right before we get into our context today, says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. Isn't that awesome? So we see the church began. It was 120 people and they grew to 3,000 in one day. We're going to pick up in Acts 2:42, and we're going to read the rest of this chapter and make some application to it. Acts 2:42. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Today I'm going to share one thought with you. Let's pause and pray, and we're going to move on and make some application. Jesus, we just read your word, and I pray that you would speak to us and help us to grow and to receive truth from this today. Lord, I know as we spoke of all of the drives for significance earlier in the service and the desires that we would have for this next year, I know they all stem from you. And I pray that you would help us to grow in you and help us to live the lives that you've called us to live through your power and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's the one key that I want you to get today. And that is this. Commitment to Christ's church is essential to Christ's people. Commitment to Christ's church is essential to Christ's people. Look back at Acts 2:42. It said all the believers, what? Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. All the believers devoted themselves. See, this is the beginning of the church. And they got together. The Christians, they met together. They continued to meet. It goes on and says they met the Lord's Day in the temple. They were meeting in the homes as well for fellowship and eating together. Listen, they met together. They met together. They were devoted together. There was a sense of commitment here. Early on. It's interesting. I don't think Jesus anywhere says you guys have to stay together and you have to meet together. It just became natural. You see, because they were Christ's people, right? They were the people of Christ. So they have to be the church, right? Christ's people, you come together and you form Christ's church. We would say the body of Christ as well. It's only natural to come together. It would have been very strange if they were filled with the Holy Spirit and then just kind of broke up and all went home and didn't talk to each other anymore. I don't think the church would be here today. And Paul goes on and he uses the gory picture, if you will, of how we're all body parts of Christ. And can you imagine just a finger laying on the table and a leg over here? It wouldn't function real well, would it? No, because the body of Christ is supposed to be brought together. And they were unified. And they devoted themselves to continue on with the teaching and preaching of the word and prayer and fellowship. Through Christ's church, this is what we see in Acts 2:42 through 47. Through Christ's church, we see Christ's presence manifested in the world. We see a deep sense of awe come on the believers. It said, there was a sense of God is here. Isn't that neat? There was a sense of God has arrived. A deep sense of awe and wonder that comes through the church. There were miracles. Just pause right there. That word, miracle, three-syllable word. You can say it quickly. You can say there were miracles and move on, but I want to camp out there just for a second. What does miracles mean? It means this. There was somebody who was blind and went their whole life not being able to see, and they were healed and they were able to see. Amen? There was somebody who was deaf who could never hear out of their ear, and now they could. When you say miracles, it can go quickly. It's a three-letter word, miracles. God does miracles. Lord, do miracles today. But we can forget about the changed lives that happened in the midst of the miracle. There was somebody's little girl who was praying, Lord, help my daddy. He's paralyzed. If only my daddy could walk and not have to lay on the street corner and beg. And the Holy Spirit moves on the church. The apostles are filled with the Spirit of God and they begin preaching. and that little girl's daddy begins to get up and run. Isn't that awesome? You're talking about changed lives here. In the midst of the church, they had a deep sense of awe. They had healings, physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional healing, complete healings of hurting people. Signs and wonders. God showed up and moved in ways that people just were not able to figure out. Right? We also see fellowship. All of a sudden, these people, I don't know how much they had in common, but all of a sudden when the Holy Spirit shows up, they became the church, and now there's a deep sense of fellowship. There's camaraderie. There's a deep sense of wanting to get together, right? And enjoying each other's company and helping each other and encouraging each other in the Lord. There was generosity. Generosity. Now you know, and you've heard this probably before perhaps, it takes a while for somebody to get saved in their heart. And they say it takes a long time for that salvation to move around to their backside and hit their wallet. Right? You can save the heart a lot sooner than you can save the wallet. Am I right? Because people say, I'll give you my heart, but I'm not giving you this. And, you know, they'll even put a little piece of steel blocking their wallet so they hope the Holy Spirit doesn't get hold of that, you know? These people were generous because God showed up in a mighty way. Because God was king on the throne. And their focus was completely different. And the natural response was, there's a need, I'm going to meet that need. You need something? Don't even say another word. We'll take care of that need. Isn't that awesome? They gave sacrificially. Generous is when we give to help others. Sacrificially, that adds a little more depth of... Maybe generous is give till it hurts. Sacrificially is I'll give even if it hurts. Right? Sacrificially is, God put this on my heart, and it's going to change my lifestyle, and it's going to limit me, and it's going to hurt. But it won't hurt as much as the nails pierced him. And it won't hurt as much as the stripes on his back, therefore, I'll give it for Jesus. Right? If you feel led. This is what happened in the early church. They had hearts for worship. They began to worship God, and God showed up. They were hungry for His presence. There was joy. If you've read the book of Acts, you realize there was suffering as well. But there was joy in the midst of suffering, because God showed up. Remember, I said joy is more like a peaceful understanding of knowing that everything was going to be okay. Joy is kind of like not that everything is happy, but joy is knowing that somehow it's going to be all right because Jesus is there. Somehow it's going to be all right because the Holy Spirit is at work. Right? That's joy. And guess what else they had? They grew. They grew in the Lord. Right? They grew in knowledge of the Word. And guess what else happened? The church grew. You just read verse 41 and it said 3,000 people came to the Lord, right? End of verse 47. When this was all said and done, all that stuff, as I said, it says, all the while praising God, enjoying the goodwill of the people. The last sentence in Acts 2 says, and each day the Lord added to the fellowship those who were being saved. The church grew. Christ's church was essential. Christ's people. And they were committed to Christ's church. How about today? Let's talk about today. What do we get today from being a part of Christ's church? If a commitment to Christ's church is essential for Christ's people, we should see some sort of a benefit. Why do we even go to church? Why do we even bother? After Jesus has saved us, why do we continue to do this thing? Here's why. Christ's presence is manifested in our world today through His church. See, there are people who will tell you, don't go to church today. There's one wacko on the radio, 106.9, that tells you don't go to church today, Holy Spirit's left the churches, stay home, listen to your radio, send me your money. The family radio. There's a billboard in Malaga that says Jesus is coming back May 12th, 2011, something like that. And it has the date right on the sign. Jesus said don't listen to them when they have the date. Jesus said as he walked on the earth, I don't even know. And I'm the one coming back. And I don't even know. And he says, do not listen to them when they say, here's the Lord, there's the Lord, here's the date. Jesus says, dude, I'm the one coming back and I don't even know what my schedule looks like right now. Yeah, don't trust those people. Big sign. I thought, wow. I wonder if I can go to their houses on, I think it's the 12th, maybe he's coming back. Let's say I can go to their houses on May 11th and say, I'll buy your house, buddy, because you're not going to be here. You know, Jesus, $10, right? It doesn't matter to you. Jesus is coming back. And you know what? Jesus could come back that day. If he comes back on the 11th, he's going to surprise them all, isn't he? That better not be like Fat Tuesday before Lent. You know what I mean? If people are buying their beads around the world, you know what I'm saying? It's not good getting drunk before the day of his Lord's return. That stuff happens. But we should go and say, hey, you know what? You got a nice home. I'll give you nothing for it. How's that? You don't need an anyway. I'll write you a check. No, I don't want to do that. For $3. And, you know? It's just silly. Listen, don't be fooled by those people. The church of Christ is the thing that is enabling God to work around the world. God works through the church. Does he have to? No, but he does. He works through the church to impact the world. How? One, spreading the gospel. Letting people know about Jesus. Is that a big deal? Absolutely. Why? Because if you don't confess your sins and ask for his forgiveness, you go to hell. You go to hell. Well, what about the people around the world that don't know? Well, that's why God's called us to reach them. Because they're going to hell. Every minute we sit here, somebody's going to hell around the world. And God's called us to reach them. That's why we care so much about missions. What else does the church do? We reach people for eternity with the gospel. What else does the church do? The church does a lot of medical things around the world. We do, and we support Rick Salvato with healthcare ministries. He goes forward, it's the Assemblies of God arm, to go into the world and to help people who have AIDS, who have cancer, to help children that just have cuts and scrapes. In other nations, you die from cuts and scrapes. Because their sewage is bad. A lot of places, when we were in Mexico, Pastor Bob and I smelled it. The people's sewage, you would see the pipe sticking out of the mountain. They would flush, and it would go right out of the open pipe into the creek that people ended up drinking. We were there. Imagine going into that creek, and you have just cuts on your legs from playing and falling on the sidewalk. And you get that kind of stuff to go into your bloodstream. You're talking about amputations that occur because of little cuts and scrapes. Well, what does the church do? The church sends guys like Rick Salvato and other doctors around the world that'll take their vacation to go to places like Haiti after the earthquake and other places just to help kids and help people. Give them some peroxide, a cotton swab, and a Band-Aid, and they're set. But other than that, they could lose a limb or die. Well, who does that? Christians do that. It's historically true that Christians are the ones that taught the world how to read. Did you know that? That our nation knows how to read primarily because of Christians. Because we believe it's important to read the Bible. So when churches start back in the beginning of the United States, they had what we call Sunday school. And Sunday school was when they would teach people how to read so they could read the Bible on their own. Christians care more about things like that than you would ever dream. The world will tell you we don't care about any of it. That's baloney. Because Christ is within us, we want to help people who are hurting. We want to help people read so they can get into the Word of God, right? We want to make people better to help them be all they can be. What else happens around the world? Right now we have missionaries, the Bartels in New York in particular. They reach out to people in the sex slave industry. You know how many people are kidnapped in other countries and dumped off in North Jersey? So that way they can use them in pornography and prostitution? And I don't mean 18, 19, 20. I mean like 7 years old. It's disgusting. We have Assemblies of God missionaries, Mike and Denise Bartel, who are there reaching out. They pick up these girls. They stand on the corners and share Jesus with them. And when they want to leave that lifestyle, they give them a home. Because you understand, they're homeless outside of their pimp. They give them a home. They take care of them, share Jesus with them, and help heal them emotionally, physically, and help them to become the ladies that God has called them to be. Who does that? Christians do that. The church does that, right? When we come together, we meet needs that many people aren't meeting. What else? Water. There's so many church programs where they give water to other countries. Where something as simple as a well that has clean drinking water. The people who are drinking water that's drinking water that has dead animals and things in. And the Christian organizations come in and for $1,000 they can put in a well and have fresh, clean drinking water for a whole village. Who does that? Christians. God shows up and through Christ's empowerment, we go forward and change the world. And we give people the gospel and we take care of their cuts and scrapes and their emotional wounds and we save people from being abused and neglected and we help people with running water and all those things. Isn't that good? Amen? Anybody? You think that Christ does that through the church today? And I'm excited to say, to be honest with you, we have a part in that when we give to missions every month. That is awesome. That when we go to heaven, maybe somebody will come up to us and say, thank you for giving to missions because I had water to drink. Things we take for granted. The church is an awesome place to be. What else? What do we get from church today? Christians who come to church and who are a part of the church, they find friends. Godly friends that will encourage you in righteousness, right? Godly friends. How many of us today that when you got saved, you had to leave some of your friends behind? Anybody? Right, because they were taking you in other directions. I thank the Lord for godly friends who propel us towards righteousness. What else do you have? You have fellowship. That's when we all get together. That's a big church word for hanging out and having a good time. When we hang out, we build relations. I think fellowship is even deeper than just having a good time. It's getting to know each other. So when problems occur, we're there for each other. And we encourage each other. What else do you get? A sense of family, don't you? How many feel like you don't really belong in your biological family? Anybody? You just feel like you kind of don't fit. Yeah? How many feel like you don't fit anywhere? Yeah, no. But how many know what it's like to show up in church and all of a sudden you belong? Right? You're part of the family. That's what that's one of the benefits Christians get when you're a part of the church. What else? You grow, right? You grow spiritually mature, don't you? You grow relationally. One of the side benefits of having Amber involved in church as a young age is the fact that she is very socially open with people. She's pretty confident in herself, and she talks to people, and she makes friends rather easily. I'm sure a big part of that is because we've had her involved in church forever. You know, she was an infant. Mommy's playing drums. Daddy's playing guitar. Somebody else has Amber. A lot of times it was Miss Millie, you know, or other people who we trusted. We didn't just pawn her off. No. But people who we trust. And she learned to be around other people. And she learned to feel comfortable. And she grew. It's unfortunate when I see people who refuse to go to church, right? And they have babies, and then you see their babies will only go with the mom and will never go to anybody else, and they'll cry and scream. And that poor mom is completely overwhelmed because she can't put the baby down without the baby screaming. And I think if you came to church, it would help. Because we love to pass babies around, right? And other people get to see your baby, and your child, as they grow, they develop. We grow. As adults, we grow. We learn to be more confident. We learn to grow in the Lord, to hear His voice. We also, we learn to have a godly home and a godly marriage, right? When you're in church, you learn principles that help you in your marriage and in your home. That's a good thing, isn't that? Anybody like to fight with their spouse? No? Yeah, I don't. You like to fight? Really? Hey, we're just going to pause and pray for Ivan. Wow. Godly marriage, godly home. Guess what? When you come to church and you're a part of church, you get encouragement, right? You get encouragement from the preaching of the word. You get encouragement from others. You get prayer, people who will stand for you in prayer. They will pray for you. They'll pray at home for you. They'll ask God to work in your life and bring healing and bring a miracle and provide, right? It is good to have church family that'll pray for you. You get healing. God heals you physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. You develop strength to endure in tough times. If you're a part of the church, you begin to develop a heart to serve. You do. You get a heart to serve. Guess what else? Your entire life, the longer you're a Christian, you realize your entire life is but an act of worship. Right? Worship isn't two songs or four songs or eight CDs or playing the guitar. Worship is, God, I'm living for you. When I go to Wawa, Lord, I'm living for you. That's worship. And guess what else you get? If you're committed to Christ Church, you'll find that you'll leave a legacy. Remember how we talked about legacy? You leave a legacy when you're a part of the church. There's going to be people in heaven because of you. I'm going to pause right here to say, it is cold in this place. And I'm going to check the thermostat for 1 second. You want to do it? Pastor Bob, knock up that heat. Slide it to heat and knock it up a click. Wow. When I'm seeing, when my breath is messing up my notes, not a good thing. All right. Thank you. There will be people in heaven because of us. Cool story. I was just talking to Pastor Sabella, the other day. And he was telling me how when he went to Bridgewater Assembly here in Jersey, he went and shared with them something that I thought was really cool. I kind of forgot about it. But if you don't know Pastor Sabella's story, he was a young man. I think he might have been the youth pastor there. And God called him to plant another church. So God called him to plant. Bridgewater Assembly helped him, gave him people, gave him money, and helped him to plant a new church. And they mothered, is the word we use, mothered a new church. And then he ended up in Malaga. And you know the story. We're here because God put it on my heart to start a church, and God used Malaga to help mother us. Malaga gave us people, and some of you are those people Malaga gave us. Malaga gave us money for which I'm grateful, and Malaga helped us a lot. And we're here because Malaga helped. And Pastor Sabella at the Bridgewater anniversary dinner or whatever it was, he went back and he showed them pictures of us. He showed them pictures of our church. And he said, here's your granddaughter. This church is your granddaughter. That those people who were giving towards their church plant 20 years ago and blessed Pastor Sabella were kind of part of that. And the legacy continues. Isn't that awesome? And he says, here's your granddaughter. That's awesome. So the question for us is, God, what can we do that'll leave a legacy? And I want you to know, as you're part of the body of Christ, the things you do will leave an impact. And you won't know until you get to heaven. A lot of it. You'll go to heaven and there'll be a child there who came to Jesus and you don't even know why. And if you ask, he may say you came to Jesus because you bought cookies. What are you talking about, I bought cookies? Well, Pastor Bob was selling cookies for Speed to Light. And the money they made from Speed to Light was used to buy a truck. And the missionary in Cambodia was able to get to the village and preach the gospel because he had the truck that was purchased with the money that you spent on cookies. And you ate it and didn't even remember. When you're a part of the church, that's how that stuff happens, right? You give and people are coming to Jesus. You serve and people are coming to Jesus. You're a part of the church and you're leaving a legacy. And your legacy is one that'll glorify Christ. And most times, when you're not a part of the church, you do still leave a legacy. But your legacy glorifies self. When your life is all said and done, nobody will say this because it's rude, but oftentimes it's true. He lived for himself. Above all, she lived for herself. How sad, right? Or you live to accumulate stuff, and when you die, your kids put it by the curb. Your collection of dolls or Hot Wheels, whatever it is, they're throwing it out. They don't care as much as you. How much better when we live for Christ, right? Amen? Commitment to Christ's church is essential for Christ's people. God's plan is for the sinner to be forgiven, regenerated, and become a part of His body, which is the church. If you refuse, any Christian who refuses to be a part of Christ's church, this is what they miss. And it's going to be the flip side of what we just talked about. And you know the Christians. Some of you may have been there. Where you say, I love Jesus, I'll take forgiveness, I don't want the church. And when you reject church, you reject a lot. And this is what you miss out. You miss out on godly friends. You miss out on being a part of the family and belonging. You miss out on the fellowship. You miss out on the growth in the things of God. You miss out on having a godly marriage at home. You just do because you're not challenged in your growth for the Lord. You miss out on the encouragement that you would receive when you're discouraged. You miss out on that. You miss out on prayer and knowing that people are standing in the gap for you and praying for you. You miss out on healing. You miss out on strength. You miss out on a heart to serve God. And as I said, your whole life becomes one act of worship of yourself. And here's the truth, and you've seen it. And this is why I'm preaching so hard on this today. Because many who have walked away from Christ's church end up walking away from Christ Himself. Have you seen that? People who walk away from Christ's church walk away from Christ Himself. If you use Paul's picture of we are the body and Christ is the head, it makes very clear sense what happens when a body part starts running down the street without the rest of the body. When you're not plugged into the church, you're not committed to Christ's church as Christ's people should be, oftentimes they walk away. Hebrews 10:25 is the verse that warns us against that. It says, do not neglect the meeting. I just messed it up. Let me read it. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. See, not going to church isn't a new thing. Okay? First century, when they wrote the book of Hebrews, which was written... Let me see. Hebrews written in the year, give or take, 68. Okay. So in the year 68, not 2068, not 1968, 68, people weren't going to church already. Why do I need to go to church? I have the Holy Spirit. I can have church at home. Right? It's nothing new. The writer of Hebrews says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. In the year 68, he said, the day of God's return is drawing near. In 168, it's even nearer. 268. 368. 468, in the year 568, people read that passage and said, the day of God's return is drawing near. Let us not neglect getting together and encouraging each other. 668, 768, 868, 968, 1068, 1,000 years goes by. And the Lord is even getting ready to return even more. The day is even nearer. As time marches forward, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 68. Columbus discovered the world 70 years ago. 1568. People were preaching, let us not neglect meeting together as some people do, but let's encourage each other as the day of the Lord's return is even now drawing more near. 1668, 1768, 1868, when people have said things like, everything that will ever be invented in the world is already invented. In the 1800s. We have it all. Industrial Revolution. We can never invent another thing. Wow. That's right next to, God Himself can't even sink this ship. Famous sayings, right? 1968. The year before Woodstock. 1900 years after it was written, pastors are preaching, let us not neglect meeting together as some people do. But let's encourage each other. Get together as the time of the Lord's return is drawing near. Well, now add another 50 years to that. Listen, it's almost 2,000 years since that was written. And if the writer said Jesus is coming back soon then, I want you to know how close is it now, right? Picture yourself with your kid in the car and you're on a trip and the kid says, are we there yet? Not yet. Are we there yet? Not yet. Are we there? Not yet. And eventually, the more times they say it, the truth is the closer you are towards it being true. And I don't know when Jesus is coming back. But I'm thinking it's kind of like being the kid in the backseat. Are we there yet, Jesus? And Jesus is starting to slow down. The blinker's on and he's turning in. You get the picture? Jesus is returning. As I've said before, I picture the Lord on the throne, better chair than this, in heaven. And he's sitting and ruling and reigning. And yet he's getting ready to get up and his knuckles, his fingertips are turning white from pushing himself out of his chair for his return. And Jesus is getting ready to return. And we don't know when. But I do know this. The church is God's body to reach the world. And a commitment to Christ's church is essential for Christ's people. It's essential. It's not an option. It's a part of how the deal goes. Lord, forgive me. I receive Christ's forgiveness. I'm baptized in water, and I become a part of the church. It's essential. It's essential. So this brings me to this point in the message now. Let's ask this question. My question is, what are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about that personally? We looked at God's Word. We looked at what God did in the early church. We talked about what He's doing today. If a commitment to Christ's church is essential for Christ's people, and if you agree to be a person of God, if you say, I am a person of God, are you willing to commit to Christ's church? Will you commit to Christ's church? Will you follow the biblical principle of committing to Him, of being a part of what He's doing? Will you choose to worship Christ over the worship of self? Will you choose to be faithful to the Lord? Will you choose to be available to serve Him? Will you choose to be spiritual? And not just earthly minded, not super spiritual. Spiritual. And you realize there's more to this life than what meets the eye. And will you choose to be teachable? And say, this past year I want to grow and I want to be all that God wants me to be. Will you choose to be teachable? Today, this is an individual choice. And I'm asking you, what will you do personally with the truth that was shared today? At our church, we believe in listening to the Word, but we believe in obeying the Word as well, as Pastor Bob read our passage today. Anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys it is wise. Will you choose to be wise today and respond to God's Word? In closing, can you envision this? Can you envision what it would look like if our church with both services was filled with people totally committed and sold out to the Lord? Could you envision that in just a moment? Could you envision what it would be like? And by the way, as a side note, our church is doing well. Our attendance is doing well. You might not notice it because we come and you got half the people here. But our church is doing well. Our attendance figures are holding and we're ready to move forward or more growth. If you don't see it, it's because you don't get to stay twice. And you can if you want. You can stay another service if you'd like to. Football games aren't that good today. But if God continues to move, which He will, can you imagine what it would be like if we all respond to Him? Could you? Could you imagine what it would be like if we all, when we come to church, we have a deep sense of the presence of God? Before we walk through the door, could you imagine what it would be like if there's a deep sense of awe, as we read in Acts? Where we're serving Him faithfully, we're faithful with our time, we're faithful with our finances, we're faithful with our time and everything else, we're faithful with our testimony, we're available to serve Him, we're spiritual, we're hungry for God, and we're teachable, we're broken, we're humble. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine what would happen if our church continued to grow in strength? And here we go. And this year, each of us got one person to come to the Lord and begin attending our church in a year. Could you imagine? We would be buying a building somewhere. Could you imagine? Right? Could you imagine what could happen? I am thrilled to be a part of what God is doing here. And I know He has great plans.